Joel, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hello, and welcome to listeners on great radio stations like 98.9 Rock, Kansas City's rock station. Also, our friends down in Sacramento, California at 98 Rock and 1210 The Man in Miami, Florida. Our question today, as we're giving you a little forum here to express how you feel, what are your thoughts, your feelings about what is going on? 844-999-OLA. When we just left, we were talking to Dave. Dave, you said you had reached the Viagra Metamucil years. You were in your 60s, but you grew up in Oakland, California, and all the different things.
He's laughing because
time.
It's true.
Yes, it is.
Gotta poop, gotta have sex. Still need that.
But at any rate, I remember in the mid-60s, my dad's favorite boxer of all time was Rocky Marciano. I loved Cassius Clay. Mm-hmm. And my dad was giving me crap because, you know, he served in World War II, and Cassius Clay was a not a draft dodger, but he wasn't going to report. I told my dad, I said, hey, this is what he believes, and he's willing to pay the price. He went to jail.
Cassius Clay, later Muhammad Ali, for people that
right.
know.
Yes, exactly.
He went in, Cassius came out Muhammad. But yeah, he served the time that they said you have to serve should you choose to deny. He didn't lie about it. He didn't defer it five times and come up with a false extra. I mean, the man, he served as a man would do. He did his time in jail.
He paid his price. And then my senior year in high school, my best friend in high school was, Ala Franco Harris. He was half Italian, half black.
And by the way, makes a great frozen pizza, if you didn't know, in the Pittsburgh area. And I'm not making that. Franco, man, it's legit. It is a legitimate, I don't know if they still make them, but it's a legitimate frozen pizza. One of the best I've ever had. Continue. And they got a statue made of Legos with him in the Pittsburgh airport.
And nothing says you've been honored more than a Lego statue.
Man, are you kidding me? Hell yeah. That would be a high honor.
But here's what you didn't know. The guy with the Legos was trying to recreate George Jefferson. But
if you look up, if you do Google the city of Oakland, it is one of the most diverse, ethnically diverse cities, urban cities in the country. So we all grew up around each other, you know, the Hispanics, you know, the African-Americans, Asians, whatever, got along. And I remember my senior year in high school, in fact, actually the home was sold, and I started my senior ball at my house and came home to our new house. But when my dad was selling the house that we all grew up in, you know, he made some random comment to me about our neighbor. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, just out of respect for Ralph, I'll make sure I don't sell the house to a black man. And I looked at my dad and I go, are you kidding me? And he goes, what? And I said, I know you to be a loving human being. But I said, you're flat out telling me that if my best friend's father came to you and wanted to buy this house and he's black, you would tell him no? And my dad immediately ran into his bedroom, slammed the door, and just cried his eyes out for about a half hour.
And what are you thinking when he does that?
What's that?
So what are you thinking when that's his response? Like, what's the thought going through your head?
I was livid. I'm going, come on, Dad, this is not what you taught me to do. You know, I mean, I did, Ted, Echo, I did 12 years of Catholic school, 8 primary and 4 in high school. Right. I had great teachers. And,
well, Ted did 13, so there.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, by his choice.
right, Ted did more than you.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
The bottom line is I got in trouble early on. When I was about in the 5th grade, we had our pastor come over and, you know, taught us religion in class and all that. We were talking about the primary sin, the original sin that you're born with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Catholic faith, you need to be baptized to absolve yourself of that original sin. And if you don't, you can't go to heaven.
You're going to go join Sunshine the dog in hell.
And I remember raising my hand, and Father Olivera said, "Yes, Dave, what do you want?" And I go, "So you're telling me if there's a man living in Papua New Guinea who's a good man, who has a spouse and has three children, and he's doing a great job as a father raising his kids, but he's never heard of Christ, never been baptized, and he dies, and you're telling me he can't go to heaven?" And he goes, "Well, technically, according to our dogma, yes." And then I just looked at him and I said, "Well, we're praying to the wrong God then."
Yeah, and that got back to my dad.
And my dad got mad at me, and I told him to, screw off, man. I'm sorry. That's not. Jesus came here, and what he's talking about, and this whole thing is what. The only thing that bothers me, what's going on now, I love the peaceful protest. The looters can go to hell.
Sure. I think everyone agrees with that. No one is supporting looters. I mean, look, one thing that's universal, you can understand why the protests are happening, or you can not, in which case we can't help you. But we all agree that looting and rioting is bad. Nobody wants the city to burn to the ground. I don't even understand the confusion in that.
You can't fight violence with violence.
Agreed.
Love is the answer. We've got to love each other and respect each other. And in fact, growing up, for me, that comment by Martin Luther King Jr. resonates in my mind. I want my children to be judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. That has resonated with me. And 1968, being 8 years old back then, was the hardest year of my life, watching both MLK Jr. and Bobby Kennedy getting assassinated.
Yeah, not a good. My mother's brought up 68 a lot lately.
What was your discussion like with your mom? What you guys? I mean, because she was involved.
You mean recently?
Yeah, as far as
discussions, it's mostly been she'll text me because every day, moms are moms. It doesn't matter how old you get. Got to worry about my boy. So she knows what's going on in Seattle, and Seattle's one of the epicenters for the protests. So she's very concerned about us getting in and out of the city for the most part. I told her, I said, look, it's fine. We're fine. We're fine. We're getting in and out, but we're going to do our job. Like, whatever else is going on, we're going to do our job. That's not something we allowed to be affected. But she just kept saying, man, this just reminds me of 68. Because, again, she was part of these protests. And like I said, she met a very nice police dog and a fire hose, just for the right to vote and all of these other things that, you kind of take for granted now. And to a degree, I've taken it for granted, obviously, but, one generation before me, they're putting in work to make my life okay. And for the most part, I am judged by the content of my character, and that's why most people don't like me. But also, sometimes, I am also judged by the color of my skin. And look, I know that's going to happen. I accept that. I know you can't get rid of that, but like he was saying, you got to love each other. I don't know about that, but you do have to respect each other. Sure. There's a lot of people I don't like.
Sometimes, too, I just never get lost in the fact of looting, that people are losing lives.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like I saw an article with Spike Lee, and he's like, basically, white people always ask him, why did he break the window? But he's like, people don't ask me about Radio Raheem dying.
Right, and that's somebody said somehow in this country, property damage more important than genocide.
Well, I will say this, as far as what's going on. This is from Nordstrom is headquartered here in Seattle, and they have one of their big flagships buildings in downtown, and that got looted the other day. Here's a statement from Nordstrom. We can fix the damage to our stores. Windows and merchandise can be replaced. We continue to believe as strongly as ever that tremendous change is needed to address the issue facing black people in our country. That other stuff can... It's okay.
No, I went to 7-Eleven the other day. I was just glad they were open. In fact, I've had a steady diet. I hate to say it. So downtown Seattle, understandably, a lot of businesses are closing early. So the last couple of days...
on rotisserie.
7-Eleven pizza.
They're closing real early. I get it, Weed Shop.
And the buffalo chicken, what are they called?
You got the orange chicken stick the other day.
Well,
it's a buffalo chicken taquito.
Taquito. Now, the other day, I got the orange chicken because nothing says this is going to be great quite like 7-Eleven orange chicken. But then when I asked for it, because it's on a rotisserie, I said, hey, man, I'm going to check out your orange chicken. His comment to me, you want the meat on the stick? I said, please don't call it that, man. Just call it orange chicken. I would lie to myself. Quick side note about Cassius Clay, who later became Muhammad Ali. When he was still Cassius Clay, he actually dated my mom's best friend for a while.
Which is crazy.
So my mother, he wasn't anyone you knew at the time. My mom says her best friend, Sylvia. Oddly enough, the same woman, Sylvia, also dated the dude who died, played sax in... East Street
Clarence
Bank.
Clemens.
Clarence Clemens.
Sure.
So two things. All right, now this woman Sylvia dated Clarence Clemens in high school. They all went to the same high school together. My mom went to high school with him, et cetera. Cassius Clay, they're a little bit older. They've done a couple years of college, whatever. So this woman Sylvia calls my mother and says, hey, we're going to swing by. I got this boyfriend, Cassius. My mom's like, fine, whatever. And she says, I'm the prettiest man you ever seen. She said he was exactly like that. Like, he had this big-ass convertible. She gets in the back. Sylvia's sitting up front with Cassius. And Cassius did nothing but talk about himself. Oh, it's nice to meet you, Carolyn, but I have to apologize. I'm already dating your friend here. Like, she said, constantly. But she's like, by the end of the night, like, you were kind of sick of him, but you kind of liked him because it was relentless. And then he went away for a while because they stopped dating. She's like, the next time I even see his ass, like, he's the world champion. Now, Clarence Clemens, on the other hand, who Sylvia also dated, my mom said that Clarence Clemens was very, very nice. He was a fairly shy kid in high school, but the one crazy thing about him...
He was also a real big guy.
He was huge dude. If you saw him, he had a saxophone with him. Not always playing it, but it was on his person, and he would drop and play sax for anyone. And then my mom, there's a pause, and she's like... I swear to God, he's the ugliest son of a bitch I've seen in my life.
Oh, Mom. No,
she said he was very nice.
I was born to run away from him.
Have you seen a picture of him?
No.
Okay. He ain't a good-looking man. And my mom was quick, like, yeah, brother.
But he was in a famous band.
He was in a very famous band. Mm-hmm. Just ugly. Now, granted, the E Street Band is not known for being gorgeous.
I was going to say.
Because who's the band's name? Is it Ronnie?
Oh, there's the guy who played in The Sopranos.
Right.
Is that, what's his name? I can't say. Little Steven. I believe it's his.
It is a Van Zandt, right?
Van Zandt.
He is one of the strangest looking. I mean, like, you look at the E Street Band, you're like, that's why Bruce Springsteen seems attractive.
See, we went from all this to talking about people being ugly. Isn't that fun?
What are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Our question. What are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on? 844-999. Well, before we went to break, we're talking about Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, sports in general. And sports is one of those things, I think, that really brings people together. Obviously, anytime the Olympics are going on, we're all Americans.
Right. Otherwise, I'm Italian, I'm this, I'm that.
But, you know, and when we talk about things being learned and just how things go, whether you came from a household that had racist family members or whatever, wherever you came from growing up. But I truly believe that sports is one of those things where, you know, people do have a strange open dialogue, not always politically correct, but anybody that loves sports has opinions based on anything else.
Sure.
It's like, you know, when you find out there's a fast white wide receiver or whatever. Like, oh, my God. You know, we've all had these thoughts as far as, you know, whether it's black quarterbacks in the NFL or, you know, it goes back to, and football is one example that I'll stick to. But I want to get back to boxing just simply because growing up in my house, it was Muhammad Ali was the guy.
Sure.
And he was
very unique.
He was the greatest fighter. And look,
because no one else liked him.
In an Italian
world
home,
champion.
Well, in an Italian home, you know what I mean.
Oh, boxing. Yeah,
boxing. It's kind of like the divisions between I don't know, maybe Cubans and Mexicans boxing.
Sure,
or whatever the deal is. It was just this old school way. And if you look at a lot of the old gyms in boxing, they were all old Italian gyms with, you know, Angelo Dundee or all these guys in the corner. They were old Italian guys. And when you look at just in general, how boxing was back in the day, it always seemed like there was this interjection of, can we just find one white heavyweight fighter?
You know what I mean? The Great White Hope,
hence
right?
That's the Great White Hope, whatever it was.
There's a whole movie about it.
Sure. And then we don't talk about this
a lot
as far as Rocky goes, because everyone loves the movie Rocky. You know what I mean? It's this iconic. But in each individual time that Rocky fought someone, you know, maybe other than the first movie where he is, in fact, fighting the heavyweight champion of the world,
sure,
who is wearing the American flag as far as his pants are gone, it's back to that white versus black thing. And the black, you know, heavyweight champion taking on any white contender that could. And maybe this white kid
right
out of Philly, because he's a southpaw, can come through and make this happen. Okay, so that doesn't happen in the first one. It does happen in the second, correct?
Yeah, he wins in the second.
Now we get Clubber Lang.
who is the most vicious man in the world. You know what I mean? Can a white guy beat this guy? And then as times change and you realize, okay, who is going to be the enemy this time? Well, here come the Russians. So then you get, you know, Drago.
But to be fair.
And it's just an interesting, I think, cultural. And I'm not trying to
say. But I don't know, because with Rocky. All right, so Rocky, it's just the story of Rocky. And being that it was written by Sylvester Stallone, who's going to play Rocky.
And there's no racial overtones.
Right. It had to be about the Italian guy.
Exactly.
Because that's who's playing it, right? So, and right, Apollo Creed, whatever. But Clubber Lang, like, again, with boxing, for him to introduce, and think about it, for him to introduce a white boxer that we were supposed to take seriously as like having a chance, it had to be a guy from Russia.
Without question.
Right? Because otherwise, right. If it had been a white dude in Rocky III, Clubber Lang,
it could be a great Irish fighter, right. But it would just
something
have the same
would
thing
have seemed
it.
Off, right?
Yeah.
Because even when you watch boxing now, 9 out of 10 times, like if the guy's not Latin, there's a real good chance he's black, right? I mean, that's what you see. So it would have been really weird. So Ivan Drago, by the way, Rocky IV, every time it's on, I will still watch that thing start to finish. I hate to admit that, but damn it, I will. It's cheesy. It's kind of stupid. I love that freaking movie.
Only right? use of Mongolia in a film I've ever seen.
Mongolia?
You know, they're training in the snow.
Was that Mongolia?
Up in the side of the hill, yeah. They filmed that in Russia.
But not Russia. Mongolia?
Mongolia's north of Russia. So, yeah, up in there. That's where they filmed all that stuff.
For real?
I believe so, yeah.
Did he actually go to Russia to film?
Like when he's post-holing and doing all
that
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure
but was it actually?
There's
going to
be a documentary about all the Rocky movies coming out. So,
well, just at the time.
That was the rumor that I heard. Like, they went to Russia. They filmed that stuff. They did all that stuff in Mongolia.
I would have a hard time believing. Only because at the time, you know, the U.S. and Russia, you think relations are bad now.
Mongolia is definitely south of Russia.
Oh, it's south of Russia. My bad.
The relations were worse then, so to tell the Russian government, hey, we're filming this movie, and I'm sure they're familiar with Rocky, massive franchise, but it's about this American whipping your ass on your soil. I can't imagine at the time they were like, yes, please.
No.
Come to Mother Russia.
That's a good point.
To make us look bad.
Sports are weird, too, because you can have your thoughts on certain races and still cheer for them in sports. So I know plenty of people.
Yeah, if you like NBA basketball, I'm...
Right, like there was an owner of the NBA, right? The LA Clippers, who was using the N-word. So you can be racist and still like certain athletes. I would also say, too, is like we keep kind of going back to this discussion nowadays that people will listen to that, like, oh, I don't see color and this and that. Like, no, you do. Like, people's skin is the biggest. Like,
look at the SEC.
Right, but like what I'm saying is, too, like, some of that's okay, too. Like, if I put on a fight, like, half the reason I started cheering for Canelo once was he was a redhead pale dude. I thought he was just, like, a random little Irish guy, right? Now, I still cheer for him.
It's a Mexican dude.
Right, like, it just some of that stuff also is inert. So I don't really know the point I'm trying to make. I'm just, I don't know. Some of this stuff is...
Everybody, look.
Yeah.
If someone does not know me and they had to find me somewhere, what would you say to look for?
Yeah, the tall black dude.
Right. I mean, like, dude, it can be useful. You know, oh, you're going to look for a guy. He's 6 foot. Just say the black dude, right? Just cut out the middleman. Just get there. Be brief and get to it. By the way, now, some people, a lot of people are glad that we're just talking about it today. By the way, Miles, someone says Siberia, and someone else points
Siberia.
Out, Rocky IV was filmed in Jackson, Wyoming. Okay.
All right. Well, that's pretty close. Middle of nowhere.
So some people are bitching out we're even talking about it today. Well, man, why are you guys talking about it? Do you think we want to talk about this? Do you think this is the conversation that we want to have? Do you think we said, you know what? Normally we come in and we have a big laugh together for 4 hours. Let's not do that. We're having a conversation because the conversation isn't happening. And if it bothers you that much, the beauty of radio, you can change the station. We won't take it personally, but don't take the time to take it.
And we'll give you a full refund.
Right. We will refund you for all the money you had to spend to listen to the show. But just turn the station.
You know what? If you need to, turn it off today. Hopefully you'll turn us back on tomorrow and understand.
It's not hard. There's a power. I've never understood that. I hate so-and-so. Like, well, you know, I could piss and moan about the Oprah Winfrey show when it was on, but I didn't because I just didn't watch it. You flip the channel. It's a... Don't Plus, make everything complicated.
We would love to talk about farts. We would love to talk about anything other than this.
Right, and so far the calls have been positive. But not everything in this conversation is. And look, I'll be honest. No way do I want to say this. But the truth of the matter is, like, yeah, I've used that language too when I was younger.
We all have.
Right? Like, do I regret it? Sure. But also, as I got older and was lucky enough to go to a school that was very diverse, and and grow up in PG County with a lot of diverse people, is you mature and you... You know, you learn stuff, right? Like, yeah. You listen to people and you learn things. And some of this is going to be a harsh reality.
You grow hopefully as you age. And that's why they always say there's a wise old man out there, or there's somebody.
Or there's an old fashioned old man. Right? Exactly. There's one of the two.
You know the difference between evolution and.
He's kind of about that. Oh, he's racist.
Right.
We got
it. Right. I would also say, I cannot explain to people how freaking tired I am. Everybody that's been in the military, I don't know how y'all do it. Trying to go to sleep with damn helicopters. There's flash grenades, because this stuff has been in my neighborhood.
You don't have a white noise fan, like a something like that?
We're talking a block or two from my house. I've had the cops on my streets. I've had protesters on my street, you know, like, and I come in and talk about it. You know,
you brought your grill in, right?
Inside.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I'm just telling
that's a nice
you, like,
grill.
Trust me, man, like, whatever your thoughts are on the protests, like, oh, I'm living in it, man.
Yep. By the way, Miles, a little more on Rocky IV. It wasn't just Wyoming. The small farm where Rocky lived and trained was in Jackson Hole, and Grand Teton National Park was used for filming many of the outdoor sequences. And
that makes sense.
And Rocky IV.
Well, I was close.
He's thinking about
beef. I was only
beef,
about 7,000 right? miles
away. He wants
away.
Some beef. Just
why
cut some
did
slides.
You think they actually went to Russia during the Cold War?
I thought I'd
told
that on a
to make a movie about an American
you say it out loud,
beating up a Russian
you say it out
on
loud,
his soil.
I get it. Yeah. But, you know,
why did you think Mongolia was above Russia? Russia's on the Arctic Circle.
You know what you're talking about.
I also thought that Rod Stewart swallowed like a gallon of man right. seed and didn't make it to the stage.
Well, we all did.
Well, he didn't, but little Kim did.
What are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on? 844-999
That didn't happen either. That's just an updated. That story went around. In my age group, it was little Kim, not Rod Stewart.
Okay.
Hello, Dora. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola. Hola.
Hey, Dora, how are you?
Pretty good.
Okay.
I live here in Port Townsend, and there was a Black Lives Matter protest along the streets right by Safeway and McDonald's. And my first indication was a little bit of nervousness because I had seen looters and rioters and violence and stuff. So I went past there. They were all just holding up their signs, being peaceful. And I drove by about 2 hours later, and they were gone. And they didn't leave any trash strewn. There wasn't any cops called or looting or rioting. So I was pretty impressed, and I was there can be peaceful protests.
Sure. The country is built on the ability to be able to peacefully protest, to be able to have a voice, and be able to get, you know, your message heard if it's not being
they
heard.
Actually get to it quick in the Bill of Rights. I mean, they don't even waste any time. They give you that opportunity. But you're right. I mean, but the thing is to do it right, you know. And again, people need to, there's a difference between protesters and rioters, because people on the other side, there's a difference between cops and bad cops. So we need to, because if you make the assumption about one side, then it needs to apply the same logic to the other. Otherwise, your argument falls flat instantly.
So right now in front of our building, they've got the two intersections.
I got to say real quick, and stop posting that meme with Dr. King crossing the bridge, right? This is a peaceful protest, because 20 minutes after that, they get beat on. You have dogs and you have hoses.
Right. A picture will not do anything any judge. You
there
definitely need to.
There are hundreds of people walking down down into downtown Seattle from Capitol Hill, and it's a peaceful march. It's a peaceful process. We know what happens at times after hours and what goes on down here. And Ted, as you're explaining, you know, it gets they're going to go back up to Capitol Hill probably tonight. I would guess. It's going to be another one of those nights. Maybe you should do some peace hot dogs. You know what I mean? Just start grilling up some dogs. Giving them to the people, you know what I mean? Working the head chef.
All right, look, I'll be a little late here for a second. I won't lie to you. The other day during one of them, I was grilling, right? And I was like, if somebody comes by, like, I'll offer them some food. But then I was like, am I just going to look like the privileged white guy just sitting here grilling? Like, oh, look at me. Just
hot dog?
Like,
no, I think once you smell it.
No, not if you're giving people food.
Right. I don't think barbecues bring people together.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, but the problem you're going to run into, Ted, is then word gets out. Because people are famished. Because we've been walking all over the city. Dude, where'd you get the burger, hot dog? Man, there's a dude down there hooked me. You're going to have 400 people.
Yeah.
Seriously,
I gave out a couple Gatorades.
I go Hebrew National. You know what I mean? Or maybe a ballpark friend.
Now, I'm giving them the worst hot dogs I have.
Probably get
not
30
because
on that,
I don't agree, but I don't want everyone coming to my house.
What are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so I just wanted to bring up So Chris Rock kind of has a bit that kind of summed it up for me. But he says where, you know, there's always an excuse where, oh, the cop's just a bad apple. He's just a bad apple. But, you know, some jobs, you can't have a bad apple, you know what I mean? So, but how do you get rid of the bad apples? How do you weed them out?
The only way to weed it out, you know, it's like anything. You wait for someone to do something bad. You know, I mean, it's like if you get expelled from school, you know, they can't make a preemptive decision. Look, I got expelled from school plenty, but it's after I messed up.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but
But I mean, how do you stop it before, you know, somebody puts his knee on, you know, a dude's neck and kills him?
Well, I think it's more like this. You can't really do anything to be preemptive, right? But what you can do is, and it doesn't matter. You can be an architect, you can be a cop, you can be a banker, you can be a radio. Whatever the percentage of racial motivation is probably about the same from job to job. But like anything, you know, you can't prevent a homicide before it happens. You only know it happened after somebody kills him. But what happens is there's swift justice on it. You know, there's a price that you will, in fact, pay. And let's face it, if we got think about the movie The Purge. And we know how people are. You see it with kids especially. If you lift rules, then people do the things that they can get away with. When the rules are in place, people will still do it, but the percentage of people that choose to do these things, based on what the punishment's going to be, drops remarkably. So part of the protest, part of the anger, it's not like, look, what happened to Floyd probably would have still happened to Floyd. The problem is no one has really legitimately been punished for this in the last 10, 15 years.
They
not
arrest
for real.
All four officers.
They arrested them, sure, and you get your right to the trial. I get that, but a lot of that's a reflection of what's going on. So I think,
and William Barr is the prosecutor.
But I think they're fine then. But I would think that if there were more, I think if the punishment were swifter and more of a guarantee, right? Like if you murder someone, you're going to jail. So I think if the punishment were the same and it were as swift, then look, you get a right to the trial. I mean, absolutely, you should go through all that. But like anything, when there's video evidence, you know, probably won't work in your favor. Maybe you can plea something down. But if you put that in place, I think the likelihood, the instances, the number of times it goes on, would drop a lot now you're held to the same standard that the rest of us are, right?
Right. Let me ask you a question. If there was a job opening working for, to be a police officer, would that be something that you would be interested in at this point?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely. I've been a big supporter of police officers my entire life. You know, I got no disrespect to them.
I'm asking. Let me ask you another hypothetical. A little hypothetical. What if you were black?
Would I want to be a cop if I was black?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be black.
I understand. So I don't know. And from, you know, like
I'm black, and I'll tell you this. I don't want to be a cop, but not for anything that's going on now. It goes to one theory that I believe to be true. Cops deal with naked people all the time.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's
true.
I stick to it.
But you want to be one.
I'm
not going to be around naked people.
But I have family members that are cops. I have family members in the FBI, and I have a family member in the ATF. And a family member in the U.S. Marshals. So there's plenty of people in my family that are in law enforcement. And like anything, the ones working on the federal level, feds don't deal with naked people, but my cop relatives, they do. And when they bitch about their job, usually it's that. Honestly. You know, and it's just it's being treated like crap. So, I mean, it goes both ways, but it's either you're good at what you do or you're not. But, you know, to your question earlier, you can't really prevent things, but certainly if the punishment fits the crime, you will find that crime, there's a big reduction in how much of stuff goes down. I mean, look, the president said it himself with the people that are looting and rioting. Said, look, I'm going to go in there, kick their ass. And the statement was, you lock them up for 10 years, you won't see this again. Right? So the idea of what I'm saying, it's already there that, right, if you go in and hold people accountable for their actions, you will find that this stuff happens a lot less. That's all anyone can ask within reason. You can't get rid of racism. If we could, I'm pretty sure we would have already done it, right?
Right. I also want to real quick, I'm sitting on hold. I'm kind of reflecting, you know, about white privilege and stuff like that. I used to kind of just laugh it off and say, oh, you know, BS. I'm a man just like anybody else. You know, I get treated the same. But I'm sitting here on hold, and I'm reflecting about my run-ins with the police. And I don't have any felonies or anything like that. But real quick, one story that really hit me was me and my wife, my then girlfriend, about 15 years ago, went to this little, you know, get together with some coworkers of hers, and I was the only white guy there, white person there, and it was three like Native and Mexican dudes, and then my wife's friend and my wife, who's Filipino. Cops get called for noise, and we're all drinking. I'm underage. My wife's passed out in the back room. The cops come in the house. see my wife, they pull everybody's ID except for mine. And they run their stuff except for mine. You know what I mean? So I just kind of realized that from 15 years ago. I'm like, well, okay, Jeff, maybe you did have some privilege, man. You do have some privilege. You need to realize that.
Yeah and no, the white privilege thing, too, like, people aren't attacking you. People are just pointing out stuff.
Yeah.
I have to feel attacked because somebody says you have white privilege. It's so, you know what I mean? Like,
if you're not
we can accept it. And
it's saying more the idea of, like, look, if you're not a code 10 when you walk into this one specific retailer, like, that's all.
I'm not being pulled over because I look like somebody. I'm being pulled over because I'm speeding, because I'm driving recklessly.
There's blood leaking out of your trunk.
There's definitely something going on, you know?
Again, I can only go back to my high school, but I see all my friends posting all the time that I went to high school with. And they tell stories that live in PG County, like, I just didn't deal with. Because sure. I was white, and the cops just didn't care. And again, not an economic thing. Some of these dudes were much more affluent than I was, but they were black. And they dealt with it in a completely different way than I did.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My brother, he gets pulled over so much, and it's ridiculous. I'm like, first of all, my brother's so nerdy, he couldn't commit a crime if he tried to. Right? It's just... it's not built into him. Like, the dude, I almost cuss.
Does he drive in, like, a minivan?
No. He has a nice... listen, I can make fun of dude, all right? He's super smart.
I don't know what kind of ride he drives around.
He keeps upgrading, and every time... oh, God. He had a Lexus something, but it's like one of those Lexi, however you'd say it, where I'm like, I don't remember seeing that. He's like, yeah, not necessarily on the showroom floor kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
really?
Okay, I see, Mr. Moneybags.
What are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Come back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, still to come, the return of Who Sucks Less, right after emails on our question. What are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on? 844-999-OLA.
Some of the thoughts and feelings about what's going on, based on the comments that are coming in. People, not everyone, that's a wrong statement. There are a percentage of people that are unhappy that we are doing this today, and that includes us, by the way, but we said earlier, look, if it bugs you, just flip the station, right? At least today, right? We're not going to take it personally if we get it. But someone says, hey, man, Thrill, the difference is I listen to your show to escape all the other noise, the reality. It's nice to listen to some knuckleheads like me. So, yeah, I'll listen tomorrow. Every single media outlet doesn't need to cover the madness. And I responded. So, look, man, we get it. We do. We just want to give people a chance to speak out, which that's, is one of the differences of doing radio it. Is just this, you know. And I'm sure a lot of local news affiliates would love to do it if they could, but they don't, which is actually have a conversation. So they can present information, they can tell you things, but you can't, I mean, you can call them.
I can watch the news, right. I can't interact with them.
You can't interact with them.
I can't have a comment, I can't pick up the phone. Look, we do a live talk show. There's no net. You know, we go and you call up and we're giving you the opportunity to have a voice so that your voice can be heard. So that if you have a question, anything that there's very few mediums out there. You can write a letter to the editor back in the day. Maybe he'll respond.
Maybe.
Maybe he will not. But this is an opportunity for you to be involved in the conversation, for your voice to be heard, for you to be able. And there are very few radio shows that even do that. You know, I mean, look, you can
call, talk at you.
I mean, trust me, I delete every email that says, can you play Skinner or whatever right. It is. You know, like, that's not what we do. We do a talk show. So it's your opportunity to reach out to us and to express your feelings.
Well, the guy did respond, and he's been cool. He just said, look, it's your show. But then he asked this question. It says, have you ever done a serious show? And I started searching my brain, man. And so I told him, I said, you know, honestly, I don't think so, at least not to this magnitude. But I said, look, it's not fun. We're not having fun, but sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
Serious parts and segments.
Moments.
Sure.
Right?
And when we're done with this, I'm out. I mean, listen, when we are done with this, I'm done. I'm going to bring some levity back into my life.
We've already figured out Friday's show, and it's just going to be complete release. We don't know if it's going to be about.
Don't say that.
Why is that? You think I'm jinxing
it? If I've learned one damn thing the last 2 months, you do not think 2 days ahead.
Okay.
Because every day is about 48 hours.
Yeah, you're right.
And things change.
You're right.
I mean, look, even...
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, but that's today's the plan. Wednesday, right?
That's
if
the
you
plan.
Had any... We had no idea we'd be right where we are last Wednesday.
I would have taken today off. If I had known last week, I mean, honest to God, like, because it sucks.
Yeah,
we all know it sucks. And you're right. We're all sick of hearing about it. But the problem is, whether we're sick of it or not, it's still out there. Hell, Miles and I went out to smoke. And, I mean, the protest itself is not walking down our street. But people that are getting to the protest, I mean, they're flying down the street and two blocks away, it's all blocked off. I mean, it is an inescapable thing. And what's crazy is Miles said to me outside, right? We're smoking, and we're very much like King of the Hill. We're just outside smoking, like, yep, yep. So Miles says, man,
look at that butt.
These are, well,
no, I didn't say
that. That one chick was so hot. Even with a mask on, you just knew.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
Oh, you can see.
Sometimes you know.
I mean, you need a break. We needed a break, too.
Just like, hey, man, I know.
Thank you for being here.
I can see your eyes. But Miles goes, man, these are weird times. And I said, you realize the last time you said that to me, we were standing out front doing our King of the Hill thing, yupping it. But it's when COVID first hit, and it's just we're in downtown Seattle. For those of you not in Seattle, understand downtown Seattle is a densely populated place with a lot of people walking around. So to stand out there, and there was nobody out there, and there was no vehicles. It was kind of like being somewhere at 4 in the morning on Sunday.
Even under the circumstances.
On like Christmas Day.
Yeah, on Christmas Sunday, 4 a.m.
This is not the right environment to say this, but it's kind of to see people. Based on what, all right.
I mean, look, that's the other side of it, too. We got to wait 2 weeks and see what happens, everybody.
I know. We got to go back to the original story and find out how bad this spread from this. That's a fact.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.